focus today, U.S. military policy. Is America's unprecedented military strength combined with a faith in the universality of American values transforming the world's sole superpower into a militarized nation? Author Andrew Bacevich argues just that in a newly published book, The New American Militarism, How Americans Are Seduced by War. Here's VOA's Ilda DeFranceschi.
Criticism of U.S. military policy is often viewed as anti-American, hostile to soldiers, and most likely a veiled argument for disarmament, isolationism, or pacifism, says author Andrew Bacevich, director of the Center for International Relations at Boston University. Bacevich, a West Point graduate and Vietnam War veteran, argues that none of those criticisms apply to his book, The New American Militarism.
My book is to invite American citizens to consider the possibility that we may have become infatuated with military power since the end of the Cold War. We have come to embrace a set of ideas about war and military power that are radically at odds with the founding ideals of our country and that will inevitably, and indeed I would argue, are already producing defective and dangerous policies.
The United States spends more on defense than the 32 next most powerful nations combined. And Andrew Bacevich writes that since the end of the Cold War, the United States has been committed to maintaining military capabilities far greater than those of any would-be adversary or combination of adversaries. He argues that war is increasingly the American way of life, a development to which the events of September 11 only added momentum. A striking aspect of the drift toward what Andrew Bacevich calls new militarism has been the absence of dissent.
Credit for militarism goes to a wide variety of political actors in group. Militarism is, in fact, a bipartisan project to which not simply conservatives and Republicans have contributed, but to which liberals and Democrats have made an enormous contribution. More broadly, these ideas have been tacitly endorsed by the great majority of the American people.
Professor Bacevich suggests military might is no longer seen as a tool to defend the United States or to deter would-be aggressors, but as a means to solve problems around the world, like in Somalia, Haiti, and Kosovo.
Americans have moved away from the notion that force is to be used only as a last resort. We have, in fact, moved far along a path that assumes that the use of force is the best way, the most effective way, to get done what we need to get done in the world.
But Gary Schmidt, executive director of the Project for a New American Century, takes issue with Professor Bacevich. He says the U.S. military should not be confused with American security strategy.
We do have a large military when compared with the rest of the world, but the reason why we have such a large military is because we have global commitments like deterring North Korea, deterring China from taking Taiwan from in the past, keeping Saddam out of Kuwait, to protecting stability in European rims such as the Balkans. The reasons we use those tools, for example, intervening in places like Kosovo or Somalia, were not done for militaristic purposes. They were done to relieve peoples from terrible tragedies and slaughter.
Mr. Schmidt says the cost of world leadership is not trivial, but even with the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, America's military budget still is less than 5% of U.S. gross domestic product. That is quite low, he says, in comparison with more than four decades of spending during the Cold War, which averaged 23% of GDP.
The real problems with the deficit have less to do with military spending than with just the changing dynamics of what the government spends its money on. Our deficit problems have to do with the fact that a lot of our social welfare programs have increased dramatically as our population's gotten older.
Federalism, democracy, and open markets were the widely shared values upon which Cold War alliances were built. Shared values in the 21st century, notes Mr. Schmidt, include international order, control of weapons of mass destruction, countering terrorism and illicit drugs, and promoting trade and economic growth. But above all, he says, the United States has a responsibility to protect its democracy and support the cause of freedom throughout the world.
We're also a nation that realizes, both for moral and strategic reasons, that protecting other democracies and promoting democracy is the best way for increased peace and prosperity. So there'll be times when we use our military to protect those democracies, and also rare occasions like in Iraq where we remove a dictator to try to promote democracies.
Critics and supporters of American military policy agree the United States must use its power prudently. For Focus, this is Yela DeFrancesco.